When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is One Heat Minute.
Drop of a hat, these guys were rock and roll.
What's your name?
Wayne Grove.
Look like gangbangers working the local 7-Eleven to you. Robbery, homicides, take me out.
Give me all you got! Give me all you got!
I do what I do best. I take scores. You do what you do best, trying to stop guys like me.
A podcast dedicated to all 170 minutes of Michael Mann's LA crime opus Heat, 1 minute at a time.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to One Heat Minute. I'm your host, Blake Howard, and today on the show, I am joined by not only Garth Franklin, editor-in-chief of trailblazing movie site Dark Horizons. Say hello, Garth.
Hello.
But it is the first time we've got multiple guests on the show. I am also joined by one of my dear friends, but a freaking awesome film critic and reviewer by the name of Luke Buckmaster. You would know his work from Crikey, The Daily Review, way back when on Urban Cinephile, but he is now the Australian film beat at Guardian, which I strongly recommend you subscribing to. Say hello, Mr. Luke Buckmaster.
Oh, hello. Yeah, thanks very much for the wonderful introduction, Blake, and it's terrific to be here. Hello too, Garth.
Hello, Luke. Hello. It's good to see you, man.
We're up to the 7th minute of Heat. I've subtly dragged you into this madness as well.
And I'm very happy to be part of this, white hot madness.
It is mad.
We are up to the 7th minute. We are staring right now at a still of Natalie Portman's infuriated face at her mother, Justine, played by Diane Venora, and we're going to kick this off. You guys are going to listen to the 7th minute of Heat, and I'm going to bring back, we're going to talk to Garth, who we've talked to in dissecting this scene up to now, and then get Luke to really break down the introduction of who I call one of the, probably one of the most iconic and cool and nastiest movie villains that is around. Wangro, played by Kevin Gage. Here we go.
He's already a half an hour late.
You gonna show or that son of a bitch gonna stand her up like last time?
I'll make coffee.
I'm out of time, babe.
Mom, where are my barrettes? They're not on the couch.
Oh, where are the blue ones?
I don't want to wear the blue ones. They don't match.
Did you check in your bathroom?
I checked everywhere.
Well, what do you want me to do?
Find them. Mom, pay attention.
All right, sweetie, all right. What?
Daddy's going to be here.
Okay, he's going to be
here. I'm not going to be ready. I can't be late.
You won't be late.
No, I will be late.
Okay, listen. Before Daddy comes, we can find them together. If we look together, it's all right, baby. It's all right. It's all right. Find them together. Just relax.
Gentlemen, we're back. We finally know that Al Pacino is a cop.
Yes.
Very quickly, he picks
with
up a
gunshot,
gun.
Yes.
He picks up a gun.
Yes.
Yeah, telltale sign. We're going to be either a cop or a criminal. Yeah. Gun. But it is. Yeah.
The illustrious suit will sort of... We'll be hopefully
he's either a very well dressed cop or a very underdressed criminal.
it's a remarkable performance. How far do we go? Do we talk about the performance broadly, Blake, or do we just specify this actual minute?
Well, we can go into this minute first, and then if you feel like we need to blow out into other parts of this performance, we can absolutely do that. But I think in this second, we've noticed already from Natalie Portman's performance that she's got a strained relationship with her mother. But the interesting thing here is once she sort of heads downstairs at the very beginning of this last moment, we see Pacino's character go, is this son of a bitch going to show up or is he going to stand her up like last time? And it's just a really interesting, in that moment, he's still so focused on Natalie Portman's character. He's so focused on her. And Diane Venora, post-coital cigarette, lazing about in bed, possibly not wearing underpants. And she's kind of still focused on, oh, let me make you coffee. Let's make coffee. Let's have a moment. We're having a moment right now. Mm. I don't want to be a mother. I want to be a wife. I want to be someone's partner in that sort of second. And so it leads into what I think is one of the most amazing tells. It took me lots of times to actually notice it, maybe register it, is Diane Venora's character, Justine, sitting up in the side of her bed. And
having a Valium.
Having a Valium.
Yeah.
It's a really interesting...
As one does before breakfast.
You know, the Midwest housewife's drug of choice.
Any time of day. That's right. That's right.
It's a really interesting sort of split second that comes back there is like, oh my God, she's on Valium here, you know. This is
Well, we assume it's Valium. It's obviously some sort of anti-anxiety. Yeah, like some sort of anti-anxiety.
Can we get a close-up of the...
Well, it doesn't say. even in Blu-ray, it's hard to say.
It's hard to see it. So she's still talking. We're about 10 seconds, 12 seconds into the sequence, and Vincent's sort of out the door. Don't have time, babe. I've got to go.
I'm done.
See you later. And we're about 6 minutes and 20 seconds, and bang, she gets up. There's a massive sort of... mural on the wall as well in this very interestingly designed architectural house, you know, this modern designed house. And we see Venora sort of sit up, she straightens up, bang, pops a pill, she's covering it.
Prescription pill, not over the counter.
And
it's not the same colour as my container.
That's how I know. It's not the same colour as mine. But that was always a real sort of...
It took you 30 times to figure out what?
No, it wasn't about... I just think maybe... You know, I remember, and this is probably a really interesting point, which I haven't actually covered in the podcast so far. Is like the first time I watched this film was not in 1995. Obviously, it came out in December 1995 in LA. So in Australia, definitely didn't come out. In the 1995 days, probably would have been about 6 months later before it came to Australia.
Yeah, theaters. Probably early 96.
Early 96. Yeah. And I remember seeing it in 1997 on VHS for the first time. And so I guess when I was younger, I would have been about, 14, 15 years old. Like, I was watching this movie, looking at it through the lens of a really young person. So I had, I was probably Natalie Portman's... I think I'm around Natalie Portman's age. So I'm looking at it through that lens. So I wasn't looking at it with someone with a discerning...
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking for very adult behaviors or having any nuance in an adult relationship. So I started growing and loving it from sort of like a... I don't know, there was like this effortless cool about it, and I loved that the good guy and the bad guy weren't classic white hat, black hats. I loved that they were kind of pros, and that's, I think, probably what drew me in. What I mean is, by about the 30th time that I watched it is, this scene was kind of like, maybe it was like a young man looking at it going, can we just hurry up and get to the heist? The heist is the cool bit, right? And you're watching here the character establishment. You've seen it. You know the characters. You want to get to this moment.
Watching this as a young guy, because I was like, because this is 96, so I just finished high school. So I was like 17, 18. And I saw this at the movies. And yeah, that was the thing. He's like, this was a 3-hour movie. And I was like, come on, get to the action. Come on,
Lord.
Yeah. And a lot of the domestic stuff was like boring as shit. And then, of course, as you get older and you learn, the quiet character moments become the moments.
Yes.
And that's the thing. And even, there are some films from that period, things like Silence of the Lambs, where you sort of realise the conversations are the moments. And that kind of thing. With Heat, I never registered that until a lot later, sort of down the track.
Yeah. And so that's what I think when I watched the Diane Venora performance in this moment, it's such a... That medicated... thing about it is just so amazing.
The disaffectation.
Yes.
It's sort of
she wakes up, she's absolutely...
Pulls on a shawl, like whatever.
Pulls on a shawl, reading the paper, completely... Then she's already clearly... There's a bit of a disinterest with her daughters, like, it's almost like, oh, I'm above looking for Barrettes. I'm done with it. She could look for them herself, blah, blah, blah.
There's also this thing, the first sign here of the daughters... basically neurotic.
Yes.
Is that, I can't be late, the way she says that sort of line. It's like, something's not right with this girl.
It's a first indication of a couple of things. Yeah, that's exactly right. Something's maybe not quite right, but we're so early on, we can't quite judge that yet.
Yeah.
And, when you see mum take a pill, I mean, when you see anyone reach for a capsule or something and take it, it's a very powerful, efficient image and message, because it only can go for 3 or 4 seconds, but the shorthand is that their life is not right.
Yes,
and something they want to escape something. Yeah, so they want to escape something, and possibly they want to either even get away from their loved ones.
Yes,
get away from the very people you surround.
And the funny thing is that right now, exactly, I think that's really powerful what you said there, Luke, is that moment, Vincent goes downstairs and she medicates to be a mother. Yeah. And I think that that's what's really sort of powerful about this is she medicates to be a mother. Vincent's gone. Like, Vincent's like, don't have time, babe. See ya. I'm out the door. He's already in the car. He's not left.
Picking up on the stuff she's signaling. Yeah. But the thing is, he doesn't pick up on the fact that she's dunking pills and she's unhappy.
No. And we're coming from a point where they've just basically had the sex scene with the two of them and she seemed completely relaxed and completely sort of content. And then all of a sudden, the moment he leaves, she's taking a pill.
Yes.
The moment we don't know what the pill is. It could be the obvious thing with any sort of person with that sort of stuff. This is a daily thing, is either any anxiety or any depression. Yes.
Yeah.
So something is either she's either too high strung or too downbeat.
Yeah.
And she doesn't seem downbeat. So it's probably Valium is the most likely sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And so she pops a pill and then that's where like, it's an entire sort of shift in momentum. She's like, she's forgotten almost about the conversation that she was meant to have had with her daughter. She's just walking downstairs reading the paper. She's, sort of reading the arts page. Yeah. She's reading about a play, talking, you know, it's nothing. She has to hit it out of her hands. And then she's like, she's back in her life again. There's this moment where the daughter's really now starting to get worked up into a frenzy and a bit of a neurosis. And she has to sort of calm her down, draw her back into her. And it's this really interesting thing where it's like, autopilot zombie, oh, wake up, I've got to be a mother. It's a really interesting thing. It's such a, and very quick, but it doesn't feel, for me anyway, it doesn't feel massively forced. It feels very organic. Venora is such a great performer. She really sells it.
The thing with that is, as I said, on the one hand, with Portman's thing there, it either seems, as I said, neurotic. There's some sort of, obviously something wrong with that. The question is, obviously, with that one, what's causing that? Is it driven by the mother or is it driven by the father?
Yes.
In which case, you're wondering about the relationship with the father there. Is there some sort of abusive thing? Is he going to... It's a question that you don't quite figure out yet. And this, it's one of those relationships that's sort of kept on the fringe. This film, as I said, is so fully formed with these characters before and after the things. It's like, even some of these sort of side things, you don't get the full perspective. You only get a glimpse of it. But that's how life works. You go in and out of people's lives and you only see glimpses of it. You don't get the whole picture.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think for me, the big message here, and certainly in terms of the Natalie Portman character, is that she has to act dramatically in order to arouse attention from her parents,
which becomes
quite disaffected.
Becomes quite a significant thing later on, much later on.
Yes.
Yeah. And so we wrap up this minute where the mother has to actually embrace her, give her the attention that she needs so that she can actually calm her down because she's whipped herself into sort of a bit of a frenzy.
Yeah.
And it's actually about presence too. I think there's a moment where she's completely sort of absent. She's, you know, having the cake of a new relationship and wanting to eat it too with trying to be a parent at the same time and not realizing that there's something off balance. There's something off balance, whatever you see here. And it's just finally that now it's sort of reconnecting. I think this is one of the, you know, if I'm talking about any minute, this is the seventh minute of a 170-minute movie. This is a minute in the movie that plenty of times I've watched and been like, okay, when am I getting to what I know is coming up, which is the introduction of the nasty Wayne Grow, which is going to happen in the next seconds that we emerge into the eighth minute of this film. But this is a minute that now comes back, especially as a dad, it comes back and it hits me like really hard that this little girl is having to sort of cry wolf, if you like, to get any form of attention, and she's clearly emotionally vulnerable and not quite there.
But the mother is not entirely disaffected. She hugs and embraces the girl quite young, and she's not like a standoffish. So
no,
you'll be all right.
No, she knows that something's up, but it's almost like she has it takes something extremely, as Luke put it before, it takes something extremely dramatic to get her to actually engage, to be focused in it.
And that does come back, don't let it out of the line.
I'm not sure about the decor and the art in there.
The art is quite questionable. Well, like the mural, which was like a half-naked guy. I'm not sure what that
And those opaque kind of glass walls that look like they're out of gyms.
Oh, no, that was the shower. That was part of the shower.
No, wasn't it downstairs?
There's the opaque sort of glass.
Can we go back?
Yes,
can we have a look back?
Let's go back.
It was next to the stairs, wasn't it?
Yeah, so the same glass. Glass that's used in the shower is used in the stairs.
Oh, okay. So it's
so either the shower is above the stairwell, which is a weird as fuck.
So first, there's what seems to be like a topless half naked man is the wall. It's a
very large painting too. Very large.
Very large, and he's got
very nice nipples.
Hairy chest.
Wall sized. Or not wall sized nipples.
No. Well, that'd be like...
Yeah, so there you go.
There's the glass.
That's downstairs. That's not near the shower.
Yeah, so it's this weird gym glass.
That glass is the same as the one in the shower.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's the weird gym glass we've got there. And then he's got the metallic stair rail, wooden steps.
Yep.
And again, more sort of...
There's a lot of modern art around the house.
Yes, they're very modern art taste, haven't they?
Yeah.
It almost looks like Al Pacino on the wall.
Yeah. Or a disaffected...
Al Pacino, early era. It's very cruising Al Pacino.
Six minutes, 32 seconds.
Yeah.
Have a look at her profile.
Yes.
6 minutes, 31 seconds. Have a look at her.
She's not even looking at the door. She doesn't care about
the profile of the painting.
Oh, okay.
Something I've never noticed before. Look at the echoes on either side of the screen. This disaffected person who's walking out with a paper that's about to cover their face.
Yeah.
It's just really interesting. I'm not paying attention to you looking art and actually performance at the same time.
Yeah. Now, hold on. You say it looks like Al Pacino, but that painting... It's like a Javier Bardem. If this was this monitor.
It's like Javier, perhaps. Yeah, but it's this really, weird art, and then lots of colored
glass all over the place. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't care if they.
Even in the
'90s,
that was like weird. That was not.
I don't care for those yellow glasses.
Yeah, and the red jug.
Yes, the red jug's kind of offensive.
6 minutes 39.
Yeah, 6 minutes 39. The red jug. It's a bit odd. It's very odd. Yeah, we've got some fish in there as well. It's a really odd kitchen. Yeah. It's a little
very
odd
blue
kitchen.
Water, that aquarium. Mm.
It almost looks like it's dying.
Yes, yeah, it looks dyed blue.
There's poor fish. I hope that's lighting and not dye.
No. I think it's the coloured glass. I've got lots of coloured glass here. So we're approaching the 8th minute of Heat. This is already such richness in these characters. This is a little throwaway moment, if you like, in the entire film, but... increasingly as I revisit it, not throw away at all. Gar Franklin, Luke Buckmaster, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
And Luke, would you come back? I'm sorry, I did not bury the lead. The introduction of Wayne Grow is up next. Would you like to join me to introduce everyone to this psychopath?
I would love to.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back with the next minute of the One Heat Minute podcast, the 8th minute of Michael Mann's 1995 crime saga. Soon. Thank you very much to Garth Franklin and Luke Buckmaster. You can find Garth Franklin at darkhorizons.com or at Dark Horizons on Twitter. You can find Luke Buckmaster at Luke Buckmaster on Twitter or on The Guardian Australia Daily Review, as we said. You can also find his book, Miller & Max, on Booktopia and all other cool book outlets. Thank you so much to Paul Davies for our theme. Thank you so much to Garth Franklin for our website design. Guys, we'll be back soon. And please subscribe, rate, and review 1 8 Minute on your podcasting app of choice.
You want the best for your child. K-12 can help them gain the skills they need to reach their full potential while giving you the support you need to get them there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Their state-certified teachers make online learning interactive and engaging, allowing your child to learn at their pace from the safety of home. Join the more than 2 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.